WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Three American citizens imprisoned in China for years are expected to arrive back in the U.S. very soon.
After 12 years of what the State Department calls wrongful detention in China, Texas businessman Mark Swidon is finally returning home. He was on death row in China on what his congressional supporters say were bogus charges. Swidon suffered brutal abuse and neglect, according to John Kam, a human rights group leader who advocated for Swidon's release.
He is really a shadow of his former self. He has suffered a great deal.
Also released by China, American John Lung, accused of espionage and held since 2021, and Kai Lee, accused of espionage.
CBS's Scott McFarlane. Nearly 72 million Americans are expected to take to the roads this Thanksgiving, but the weather may cause some to rethink their plans, including this woman in Buffalo, New York.
There's a big snowstorm coming to Buffalo, so we're going to end up going back on Friday and cutting our trip 2 or 3 days short, but we think it's better that than drive in the middle of the storm on Sunday.
Meteorologist Craig Allen says it might be best to get to your Thanksgiving destination early today because
the I-95 corridor, especially from the D.C. area on north, is going to be hampered by very wet weather as we get on into Thursday afternoon.
Many Americans got out of town yesterday. CBS's Dina Demetrius takes a look at the holiday air travel.
Snow in Denver delayed hundreds of flights, while air traffic control staffing issues again caused delays at Newark Liberty Airport. But airlines have managed to keep cancellations low.
We left way early, and we got here and we checked in. It was super easy, so we were very surprised.
The weekend weather could complicate the trip home on the roads and in the skies. President-elect Donald Trump's transition team and several of his administration picks have been targeted by swatting incidents and bomb threats. CBS's Weijia Jiang reports.
Among the victims of bomb threats and swatting incidents, President-elect Trump's choice for attorney general, his chief of staff, and his picks to lead the Commerce Department and Environmental Protection Agency.
Also targeted, former Florida Representative Matt Gaetz. He was President-elect Trump's first pick for attorney general. He dropped out following fallout over allegations of sex trafficking and illicit drug use, allegations he denies. The president-elect has chosen Keith Kellogg as his special envoy for Ukraine and Russia. Kellogg is a highly decorated retired three-star general, and he's been Trump's top advisor when it comes to defense issues. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Packers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers playing on Thanksgiving, a tradition that dates back to the 1920s. They host the Dolphins, who feature two of the fastest wide receivers, Tariq Hill, Jalen Waddle, led by quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley.
I mean, you'll see him throw the ball down the field and hit some big plays, but then you'll see a lot of catch and run. We're in rhythm. He's throwing the ball. And it's not just the receivers, it's the backs too. You know, creating some mismatches, getting the ball in space, and letting their guys kind of catch and run. So they do a really good job with that.
College football, the Badgers host the Minnesota Gophers tomorrow at 11 a.m. Luke Fickell says he won't bring in a special speaker to explain the tradition of playing for the Paul Bunyan Axe.
I'm not a guy that brings in people to speak. You know, I mean, we've got guys within this program. We've got guys that it's meant the world to them. They've bled it. There's a lot of guys that you know, are new here that if they don't understand, shame on them, because we talked about it in fall camp. We talked about it in spring football.
That's head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin' Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Great travel weather for the holiday weekend, but it is going to be cold today. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries this afternoon with a high of only 25 today. Tonight, breezy 13. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, breezy, high of 20. And we're going to keep it that way. Partly cloudy in the low 20s right on through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, we get a sneak peek at the Hawk Tua Girls' new reality show. And I welcome Discover Wisconsin host Andrea Belke and from National Lampoon, Jamie Kaler and Jeff Tully.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves the sin but hates the sinner, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome to this November 27th edition of Nightlight, which is unlike any other edition of Nightlight that you've heard all month, because this is the 27th. It's the night before Thanksgiving, one of the happiest nights of the year. Am I right or am I wrong, Conrad?
Definitely right.
Yeah. I thought you'd agree. I know you're a big Thanksgiving guy.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's fun. It's like Christmas Eve is great, but I think the night before Thanksgiving is almost better, because once Christmas Eve is over, you kind of have the blues. It's like, oh, we got New Year's, but then it's back to school. Like, Thanksgiving, the night before Thanksgiving, you got a whole other set of holidays ahead of you after Thanksgiving. So to me, it's a more fun eve, if you will. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. You know, I always look forward to Thanksgiving just because I think the food's better there than Christmas, you know. But also, it's just getting to see your family, because it's been a while, probably,
right,
for some. So Thanksgiving is the first holiday you get to see him again and enjoy some football, for sure.
Hopefully. Well, now you do food, because the Lions are good.
Well,
but,
yeah,
man, they were on for decades, yeah, and it was just a joke. That was like the game you skipped. You went out and had your own turkey bowl, and the talent level was probably better than what you would have seen on TV during a Lions game. So,
well,
but now they're good, so it's fun.
Well, you get the good Lions, but you also get a really fun game. It's the Giants and Cowboys. And if many don't know, they just benched Daniel Jones. That was last week. And he's, you know, QB4 now.
And making, what, $200 million?
Well, they're doing that because he has an injury clause on his contract.
Wow.
And actually, last week Thursday, he was spotted playing safety on the practice squad.
What?
Yeah.
Were they trying to get out of paying him or something?
Yeah, he's not going to be a quarterback on the Giants much longer. And I heard maybe Pittsburgh's a team.
Well,
I don't know.
Who gets that contract? Whoever picks him up?
You know, I really don't know. Like, it's a crazy contract he has, because he got one of the highest paying during that time.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So, yes, it is Tommy DeVito who's backing him up versus Cooper Rush on that day.
Oh, God, that's brutal. Tommy DeVito, I always think of Jersey Boys when I hear Tommy DeVito. I'm like, that guy plays quarterback? I don't know what it is either about the NFC East. I never got excited when they were on.
Yeah.
I never get excited when they're on. They're like this division rivals that I just don't follow. I guess the Eagles are kind of fun to watch now.
Yeah.
But that never excited me. I'd almost rather watch the Lions. And I loved when they added that third night game, because that was like a variable.
Yes.
It was like a really good AFC team, like Baltimore or the Chargers or Steelers or whatever. So anyway, yeah, you got football, you got family. this is a great night. And it's fun just to wake up. Ideally, you get some of the, ideally you help out whoever's cooking. If you're not the one doing the cooking, you help out. Then you just get to lounge around a little bit. Do you do a turkey bowl?
No, I don't think I've ever, I mean, when I was younger, I'd play catch with someone maybe outside, but
yeah,
we've never actually, my whole family's not a huge like football per se family.
Players of the game.
They watch it, but yeah, exactly.
It's safer to just watch it. We've had two instances where there were emergency room trips on Thanksgiving Day because of a touch football injury. Like, you know, that guy goes down wrong. I mean, my brother-in-law one year, it was just brutal. So we stopped. It's just sort of not worth it. But
touch always turns into something more sometimes.
Listen, when you're over 30, touch is almost as dangerous as tackle, because you're just going to pull something, or you're going to fall funny, or think you're better than you are and try to be a hero. It's terrible. But we've got we got a good show. I mean, we put together kind of a best of show for the rest of the night. And we have actor John Grise will be here. He is we have kind of an all-star lineup, if you will. We've got John Grise, who is Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite, who had a chat with me on the radio recently. And then we have an all-star lineup of Adam Brody, Jenny Slate, and John Legend that Conrad sort of mashed together for sort of we took little fun tidbits out of those talks. And then we've got music in the second hour. Ask Your Mother will be here in studio, pre-recorded. And Eric Jelen will be here also from a pre-record. But two really fun guys to talk to. And Adam Krause will be here with part of it as part of that pre-record that we did for Ask Your Mother. So it'll be Eric and Adam, and then Eric from Mascot Theory. So really fun show. That's a good, if you're into the radio and we're not with you live the entire night, we're still with you in spirit, and we put together a show just for you guys. So I hope you enjoy it. And so what are you going to do? What is your favorite part of the meal, Conrad? Let me ask you.
Oh, you know, I go to a lot of, you know, different sides of Thanksgiving. I say one of my favorite things is my aunt's biscuits.
Oh.
They're buttery, they're flaky, they just melt.
Right.
Those are so good. But I'm also, I love ham. I think ham's better than turkey, in my opinion.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
I love a good ham with some great glaze, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to ham, mostly. I never have ham.
Sounds like you're a fan of ham.
I never have it, besides like Thanksgiving or,
you know, they
Christmas.
Sell it in delis. You can go get a ham sandwich any day of the week.
It's not the same, though, because, you know, it's cooked in the oven, and you have thicker slices than just like the basic deli slices.
Here's where I'm at with that.
Okay.
Since you brought it up. Yep. I think turkey is the dullest part of the meal. I'm not a gravy guy, so turkey is just, I eat it purely for texture. I go mashed potatoes, I go stuffing, I go a little bit of cranberry, and I like the canned cranberry better than the real cranberry. I don't need seeds and stems in my cranberries. So I go the can way, and then my mom's pumpkin bread, the turkey, honestly, is like, my wife makes it good. She puts like this salted brine on it. It's very good. But most turkey is pretty bland. So I understand where you're coming from with ham. I've just never been a huge ham fan. It doesn't mean I can't muscle down a sandwich, but I get where you're coming from. What about your favorite side?
So this is do you like potatoes with lumps in it?
Yeah, I could go either way. I used to hate that. Yeah. Now I love it because I realize they're potatoes, not mystery lumps.
I could go either way as well. But I would say I love corn with potatoes.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Corn, potatoes.
Interesting.
Have a nice slab of ham on there.
All right. Let me ask you this. This is controversial. Green beans with that mushroom soup on top and the crispy fried onions.
Isn't that Green Bay casserole? Or?
Some could call it that. Yeah,
or
I think
hot
you're probably
dish.
Right. Yeah. Hot dish. That's so funny. The hot dish is such a Wisconsin term, because I remember when I moved here as a kid, and we had a babysitter. It was this old woman. I said, "What's for dinner?" And she goes, "Hot dish." I go, "What the hell is that?" It sounds like you're serving plates for dinner. I didn't even know what that was. But then I realized, oh, it's a casserole. But it's kind of a vague term. Like anything can be in there, right?
Yeah.
And it's a hot dish. But I think you're right. I think a lot of people do call it green bean casserole. But it's the mushroom soup that throws me.
I just don't like it altogether. I don't like green beans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't like green bean casserole.
What about crispy onions?
I mean, those are good.
Yeah.
I'll have them by myself.
You get those at Quick Trip next to a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what, yeah, all right. I like the classics, though. I like the potatoes, a little pumpkin bread, some stuffing, cranberries. I don't go too crazy. But you said it's better on Thanksgiving, the food. You can make whatever food you want, right? Like, we do the same dinner.
Yeah.
Basically at Christmas that we do Thanksgiving.
See, I'd say it's more, I don't know, like generic for Christmas, because I might, there's, you know, I have a side that we do random things. Like one year we did like a taco bowl kind of thing.
Okay.
Or we do pizza.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just random things that you're like, not usually Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But it just feels like it because you got family there, good food. So that's why I like it better.
Mix it up a little. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Here's the best part of the weekend for me is when the big meal is over and you're either hanging out and playing board games.
Yeah.
Or you wake up, you watch college football the next day, you take a walk, and hopefully the sun is shining on Thanksgiving weekend. You go to the movies. It's a big weekend for movies. That's usually what I do. So to me, it's kind of almost the days that follow Thanksgiving that I'm as excited about as the actual holiday itself.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, after dinner, you know, sometimes we play cribbage.
Okay.
But I started hanging out with my sister-in-law's family, and we like to play a lot of different games. It's
what's your fave?
Ooh, I mean, I like it's Pictionary.
Okay.
But it's those little pads, you know.
Okay.
And you pass it around. I forget what it's called. Like, it's kind of like Pictionary, but it's fun. Mm-hmm. And it's more after dark.
Meaning what, dirty?
So
you just draw a bunch of body parts.
So you get a card, and then there's like words on it, and you have to, if you're starting, you draw. Or no, you draw first, and then you pass it to the person to the left. And they guess what it is. And then the next person draws it and just goes around.
You have to draw the same thing?
You draw, guess. And then it eventually gets back to the original person. And then you go through it. And then you get points for the best picture and the best guess.
Okay. I have not played that.
It's really fun.
Do you do catchphrase?
We have done catchphrase,
That's an easy one.
Yeah.
Because you just need the thing, the clicker or whatever in the... that's one of my favorites. And then Balderdash, I love. That one gets tough because you can't have too many players, but that's a great Thanksgiving game. If you just have like four people, that's a good one too. So I don't know cribbage. I've never learned how to play sheephead cribbage. I don't know the Wisconsin card games. My parents kind of failed me there.
I'm okay at cribbage.
So you that's like a skill?
Well, you have to learn it. And I think it takes a couple, you know, it takes a while to actually really get to understand it.
Okay. That's fair. One of these days, I will learn how to play cribbage and I will challenge you to a match or a round or a game or whatever you call it. John Grise is here tonight, folks. We have a little best of Nightlight coming up, hoping to keep you company here tonight. The night before Thanksgiving, one of the happiest days of the year. Conrad is headed for Florida very shortly after this.
Yes.
You got a cab waiting for you outside. And I will be making the trek back up to Marinette. But John Grise is here. We have part of a John Grise interview that we did recently. And then an all-star lineup. John Legend, Adam Brody, Jenny Slate. The guys from Ask Your Mother will be here. Eric and Adam. And Eric Jellin from Mascot Theory. Some best of kind of an all-star show. Hoping to kick your Thanksgiving weekend off just right, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you stay safe this weekend, folks. Give a listen. Have a nice, relaxing evening before the chaos sets in tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The ink wasn't yet dry on the Indian Citizens Act of 1924 when voter suppression of Native Americans began. Natives have been fighting for their right to register and vote, proper representation, and fair voting districts ever since.
The Brennan Center for Justice writes that for decades, Arizona disenfranchised Native Americans because they were, quote, persons under guardianship. New Mexico's constitution stipulated that people who didn't pay taxes, including natives on reservations, could not vote. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 prohibited these suppression tactics, but the U.S. Supreme Court's 2013 Shelby decision opened a floodgate of new Native suppression in Arizona, Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, Nevada, and other states. Recently, proof of citizenship and voter ID laws have targeted natives, some of whom don't have an ID or live in remote areas without street numbers. Counties have used at-large voting districts to dilute native voting power or remove drop boxes or polling places, forcing voters to drive sometimes more than 100 miles to vote. What can be done? The federal Native American Voting Rights Act is stuck in Congress, but New Mexico passed its own version in 2023. The John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act restores protections stripped from the 1965 Voting Rights Act, and the Freedom to Vote Act would expand voting access for all Americans. We have resources at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass, though. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Don't be a baby, remember what you told me.
Shut up and put your money where your mouth is. That's what you get. It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time ever, composer, producer, writer, musician, John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, so great to have you. Welcome to Nightlight, my friend.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
You and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend, and my last name is Schwabe and I'm an actual Schwabe. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabe? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
A Schwabe is like the upside down E, you know.
Oh, yes. Things, right? That's my fate. That's right. Anything you got coming out that we can look forward to?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be touring for Christmas, so I don't know where the closest show to Wisconsin is, but if you all go to my website, johnlegend.com, and check out my Christmas tour dates, I just released a children's and family album called My Favorite Dream, so especially new parents. New parents who would get a child tax credit if they voted for Kamala Harris. check that out because my kids love it, and I'm finding that so many kids and parents love the new children and family album. It's called My Favorite Dream. And, just stay tuned. Follow me on socials, and I'll always have some new stuff happening.
You got it. Thanks so much, John. Keep up the great work, and we'll look forward to that. Anything new you put out. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
Okay, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time actress Jenny Slate. Jenny, welcome to Nightlight and welcome to Wisconsin.
Hi, Pete. Thank you. It's good to be back in Wisconsin.
Tell us a little bit about your visit and how it's going.
Well, I'm here because I have a new book out called Life Form, and I'm touring around the country, and I'm doing a show here tonight at the Orpheum. And
you have done so many great things in the comedy genre. I assume that's your genre of choice. And you've done live action, you've done voiceover. What do you prefer? Do you like just doing voices, or do you prefer live action and playing off of someone?
I actually prefer live action, and it is because I am like hyper gregarious and I just like being around other people. And I also have learned in my own career that coming from a place of combo joy, tenderness, and true comedy is the way that I've actually felt the most powerful. And I think it's been really good for me to use that sort of set of emotions or qualities or talents that I've already developed in my creative work to go out there and generally affect our world for the better by voting for Kamala and help helping other people do that as well.
Even though you said live action, I'm going to ask you about Bob's Burgers. Have you had
a great? I love that show.
Have you had a great experience? I just mentioned off air that we have a mutual friend, John Schrader, who writes for the show. It's a great show, and it seems like a great staff and crew. What's that experience been like?
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. I can hardly record that show because I laugh so hard. That and The Great North. You know, I'm on both of those shows.
Yeah.
They're just so dear to my heart, and like there's no bad apples there. Everybody is a true sweetheart, and the scripts are continually so funny that I laugh so much while I'm doing my work, and I feel like that's kind of like, geez, what a gigantic luxury to be able to be that happy. Plus, they let me do my own fart noises, which is, you know, of course. A big badge of honor for me.
I'm not even going to ask you about how you research such things, but I do appreciate
just
your...
Just by living life. Just living life.
That's fantastic. Jenny, I know you have to run and get to other interviews. Keep up the great work here in Wisconsin.
It's my pleasure to welcome, for the first time, to Nightlight with Peach Wava, actor Adam Brody. Adam, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I just want to say this is fun for me because when I first moved to L.A., I did a lot of freelance writing, and you were on the Gilmore Girls several times, and that's one of the show I freelanced for the WB, writing promos and stuff. So you've added a bit to your you've added quite a bit to your resume since then. So congrats to you for that.
As have you. Congrats to you.
I had a lot of fun out there, and it was great. Sold some movies. Only one of them got made. Doing radio now. Absolutely love it. Love working for Civic Media, and it's great to reconnect with you, even though I didn't meet you back then. I was an admirer of your work. I loved.
It was fortuitous.
Yeah, exactly. We were destined to connect again at some point.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, one of my favorite films is Promising Young Woman. You have such a memorable part in that movie, kind of got the ball rolling.
You know, Emerald Fennell, who wrote and directed it, is just a phenomenal talent. And that was obvious. And she's also a wonderful actress. And so she's very charismatic as well. And that was obvious from the script. I mean, everyone, you know, knew how good a script that was and how good a movie it would be. And I think she did a wonderful job with it. And she also, you know, where I come in that particular one is, you know, a bit of a misdirect. And she cast a handful of people known for their nice guy personas, their nice guy roles, and subverted those. And I thought it was brilliant.
That's really fascinating what you said, because I don't think a lot of actors or people in general, when they work on a film, know it's going to be great.
It was the movie's very entertaining and funny, and yet, right. And then it has this showcase where a great part for Carey Mulligan, who was one of our finest actors, and then a procession of cameos and different great parts for a bunch of men and a few women as well. And like I said, it's funny, it's tense, and at the same time, while you're being entertained, it's very thought-provoking, it's very provocative. And it was talking and having a dialogue with a moment we were having and are still having. And so it was incredibly topical while not being preachy in any way. And so that's just a great cocktail.
That's a great answer. I have to say this phrase to you, and I want to get your reaction to it. What do you watch on TV when you're done filming your own stuff or canvassing or doing whatever you do for fun? What do you sit down and watch typically at night?
That's a fun question. I really wish I watched more, but between bedtime for the kids and bedtime for me, you know, staying awake, there's not all that much time. So I've been working my way through Long Legs, the Nicolas Cage horror movie.
Right.
I really enjoy it. It's you know, I don't watch that much horror because I'm not that interested. I mean, I'll be scared as a byproduct, but that's not why I'm going to something. I'll go to something because I think it's really clever or et cetera. And so, which this one is so stylish. But so anyways, maybe I'm not the best judge, but I have to say, it is terrifying. It's terrifying. It's incredibly creepy. I really like it. But I've been working my way through that. I'm almost done. I'm doing it in pieces because I fall asleep.
I, I kind of do horror that way too, just because it's not my genre. But that's kind of a lot of what we talk about on this show is, well, all things entertainment, but movies and TV. All right. The last thing you see before you go to sleep is Nicolas Cage looking like a woman and with weird makeup. It's horrifying.
Yeah, screaming.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. Three Americans imprisoned in China for years are expected to arrive back home very soon.
The Biden administration had repeatedly raised the men's detention with China, and earlier this month, Mr. Biden spoke with Chinese President Xi at a summit in South America.
CBS's Scott McFarland reports the U.S. maintains the Americans were wrongfully detained. Traveling this Thanksgiving? Be careful out there, especially in New England.
National Weather Service offices throughout New England have issued winter weather advisories for winter driving conditions and snow removal. And then it's all about the cold. It is going to be Arctic.
CBS News New York meteorologist John Elliott. Several of President-elect Donald Trump's administration picks have been targeted by swatting incidents and bomb threats. The response?
The Trump transition team says with President Trump as our example, dangerous acts of intimidation and violence will not deter us.
CBS's Weijia Jiang. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Packers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers playing on Thanksgiving, a tradition that dates back to the 1920s. They host the Dolphins, who feature two of the fastest wide receivers, Tariq Hill, Jalen Waddle, led by quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley.
I mean, you'll see him throw the ball down the field and hit some big plays, but then you'll see a lot of catch and run. We're in rhythm. He's throwing the ball. And it's not just the receivers, it's the backs too. You know, creating some mismatches, getting the ball in space, and letting their guys kind of catch and run. So they do a really good job with that.
College football, the Badgers host the Minnesota Gophers tomorrow at 11 a.m. Luke Fickell says he won't bring in a special speaker to explain the tradition of playing for the Paul Bunyan Axe.
I'm not a guy that brings in people to speak. You know, I mean, we've got guys within this program. We've got guys that it's meant the world to them. They've bled it. There's a lot of guys that you know, are new here that if they don't understand, shame on them, because we talked about it in fall camp. We talked about it in spring football.
That's head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Great travel weather for the holiday weekend, but it is going to be cold today. Mostly cloudy. A few flurries this afternoon with a high of only 25 today. Tonight, breezy 13. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, breezy high of 20. And we're going to keep it that way. Partly cloudy in the low 20s right on through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 22.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Thanksgiving show. We'll give you some updates on the season and also some best ofs of the year. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, this is John Grise, also Uncle Rico, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hey, this is Pete. Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving week and enjoying your families. We have a few days off doing the same, and we'll be back on December 2nd. In the meantime, we put together some fun segments from previous shows. Hope you enjoy, and happy Thanksgiving. I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. You guys probably know him for a couple, two or three roles. I've been following this guy literally since the early 80s, and I just think he's terrific. So I was thrilled when he decided to make himself available for the show tonight. Actor John Grise joins me. John, how are you?
Hi, how's it going?
It's going very well.
How does it feel to get a question with a question? You asked me how I was, and I immediately asked you how you were. So, yeah, we're starting off on a great foot. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks so much. How are you doing?
It's good. I just thought that was like an acting technique or something. That's okay. You can just say whatever you feel comfortable saying. It's totally fine. It is great to have you. You have a great event coming up in Madison this Saturday night at the Barrymore Theater, Napoleon Dynamite Live. For those of you listening, John was Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite, just an absolute treasure of a movie. Can you tell us a little bit about the event this Saturday?
Well, you know, this has been something that we've been doing now for a few years, probably with the exception of the time during the pandemic. We show the film, and then afterwards we have like an interactive show with the audience. We get on stage, but we're not like just sitting up there, you know, polishing our nails on our lapels, you know, like, oh yes, we're in this amazing movie, and you're just lucky to be here with us. No, we're equally fans of this film, and we get out in the crowd. We hang out with people. We have reenactments, scene reenactments with audience members.
We have
like trivia questions. It's like an event. We play a little bit of music. We have a really great time. We don't consider ourselves any different other than the fact that we're in the movie, but we are true fans of this film and what this film still amazingly 20 years later seems to engender, and it's a very positive experience. Obviously,
it's great. My kids loved it. I loved it. I went to see it at the Sunset 5 when it came out in L.A. And then when my kids were born, they watched it over and over and over. And how did you get involved with the film? Like, did they approach you? Did you see it and want to audition for it? How did that happen?
Oh no, I knew absolutely nothing about this film. It's an interesting story because they made offers to a lot of people. One of them being, which I think is just fascinating as I'll get out, is Christopher Walken to play Uncle Rico. Could you imagine him? Deb, you have such... I mean, the idea of it makes me very giddy. I mean, it makes me laugh so hard. So, no, but because these guys didn't have any track record and they were very young, and agents in Hollywood, I'm sure you have an idea. They're just, you know, it's like a firewall between, people making films and the clients or the talent that they represent. And, you know, I was the low-hanging fruit. You know, it was like, this guy's available. I mean, you know, all these other people, Walton Goggins and Christopher Walken, and they've all turned it down.
Wow.
Truly. But actually, it's funny. Walton is a friend of mine, and he said, you know, I loved you so much in that movie, and I got to tell you, I actually agreed to do the movie and then realized I couldn't do it. I was doing another project, and I had to call up and bow out. The filmmakers from Napoleon had a definite inside track getting to some high-level talent. But the problem is either people were, you know, busy or whatever, and as they were getting closer to the start date, Jory Weitz, the casting director, had put me in another film called The Big Empty with Jon Favreau, and they happened to be using the offices of, you know, the editing room of The Big Empty when they were trying to cast Napoleon Dynamite. And he said, let's look at this guy's footage on this movie, and maybe you might like it. And they watched my stuff, and they said, let's make an offer. And that was pretty much it.
Oh, that is so cool. It's like you're listing all these other great actors, and they're great, and they would have done a good job too, I'm sure. But like,
they killed it. It would have been amazing.
Yeah, but it's like you're him now. It's just there's no one else that could do it because you just crushed it and made it your own. And I think that's
Thank
fantastic.
You.
So you're welcome. Can you talk? Okay, so the first two films I saw you in, John, where I actually noticed you and I was like, oh, this guy's great. You were in Real Genius, real quirky part.
Yes.
And then you were in a movie called Running Scared. As a younger cop playing off Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines. Really fun movie, actually, if people haven't seen it.
Stephen Bauer and I were partners in that. We played partners.
Yes.
You know who else was that? It was Jimmy Smits and Joey Pantoliano. Yeah. There was a lot of people in that movie.
Joey Pants. I was late to a meeting with him once. It did not go well. I'm still ashamed of myself because he, honest to God, he has no bigger fan than me. And the guy who played the police chief too is great too. I can't think of his name right now.
Dan.
He played Nick. Yeah. It was just a great cast. But can you talk a little bit about those two roles? They're such great roles. And again, they look like you just crushed those and had so much fun with it.
You know, I mean, thank you so much. Real Genius, originally when they called me to play the part of Kent.
Wow, really? See that.
And I know. And I read this. When I was early in my career, I got hired to play. They kept thinking, well, he's not good looking enough to be the good guy. So he's probably good looking enough to be the bad guy. Of course, I couldn't get on soap operas because they're like, nah, he ain't even good looking enough to be the bad guy. You know, that's pretty much how they saw
me. And they say that to people. Isn't that crazy?
Oh,
it's
yeah,
horrible.
They do. You've got to have some pretty thick skin. And Robert Prescott, who ended up playing Kent, was so brilliant in that role that I, again, you know, you say you can't imagine anybody else playing Uncle Rico. I could never imagine anybody else playing Kent, but Robert Prescott, he's such a wonderful actor. So Real Genius, I called my agent when I got the audition. And they sent me the script, and I called him, and I said, I want to read for Laszlo. And he was like, what are you talking about? They called you to read for Kent. They probably have other ideas for Laszlo. I know, but I the role is speaking to me, and I got to try that. I'd rather go down on that one and in flames than go down in flames on doing this one, because that's not the one I want to do. This is the one I want to do. So he called them and they said, okay, sure. He wants to read for that. Come on in. And he's too young for it. Cause it was written in the script that he was like 45 years old, you know? And, they kept calling me back, you know, they made me come back like four or five times. And then I finally got the job and it was a life changing experience for me. Truly. I mean, before that I was working construction, you know, as well as acting from time to time and something here and there. But after that movie, I was on my way. Running Scared was a funny story because I went in to meet with Peter Himes, and he sat there, and we had a great discussion. Now, meanwhile, sitting out in the waiting room is David Caruso and Ray Liotta to read or to talk to him about the same part, right?
Oh, wow.
But Peter Himes and I sit, and we gab for, I'm not kidding, an hour. And they're out there waiting. I'm sure they're getting angry as all get out. And then Peter looks at me and he goes, John, I love you, but I don't know you. I don't know your work. What have you done? And at that time, I had finished shooting Real Genius, but it wasn't done yet. But it turns out the old Sony lot where Peter Himes' office was the MGM lot at the time. And they were cutting Real Genius on the MGM lot. So I went home and I called the editor, a guy named Richard Chu, who was very famous because he edited Star Wars. I said, hey, Richard, my name's John Grise. And he goes, oh, my God, I love you in this movie, Real Genius, that I'm cutting. And I said, that's why I'm calling you. I want to see if I can get a screening room on the lot this, like, coming week. Do you think you could put the scenes together for Peter Himes? He goes, don't worry about it. I'll put three great scenes together. Man. I said, thank you so much. And then I called the studio operations, and I said, Peter Himes would like the Cary Grant screening room at a Friday at 11 a.m. And they were like, okay, Peter Himes. You know, like, I was just, I ordered the room, and then I called Peter's office, and I said, yeah, and, you know, have a projectionist there. And then I called his office, and I said, yes, 11 a.m., the Cary Grant screening room, right? And sure enough, Peter Himes comes in, sits down, he watches my scenes. He calls me, he goes, and I was just leaving the country to go to Italy to shoot something, and he goes, you got the job. When you come back, we're going to make a movie together. And that was it. And then later on, while we were shooting, because he was also the producer of the film, he walks up to me and while we're eating lunch, and he sits down and he drops a piece of paper in front of me. And he says, did you rent the Cary Grant screening room on my dime? I started laughing and said, yes. And he said, good for you. Good for you. Picked up the piece of paper and walked away.
Oh, that's terrific. Wow.
It required a little bit of hustle. You know, you had to hustle a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't just, yeah.
Be proactive, right.
Absolutely.
John, we have about a minute left. I had so many questions for you. I wanted to ask you about White Lotus, but I know you're a busy guy. And I tell me in about 30 seconds, this Saturday, such a great night. You played Uncle Rico. You're going to be there. People should go see you in Madison. Napoleon Dynamite Live. Are you looking forward to it?
Oh, I'm telling you something. We have such a great time. We love having this exchange with the audience. We don't turn out the lights in the theater. The lights are on, man. We're all together in this, and it's a great time. It really is a great time. And we have giveaways, and you know that it's just a lot of fun. It's beautifully janky and really really loose and really a lot of fun.
I love it. Check him out this Saturday, John Grise. Thank you so much, buddy. Crush it this Saturday. It's great to meet you.
On Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill. When I found you, the moon stood still. On Blueberry Hill. It lingered until dream came true.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You guys are already set up. That was like a covert, just snuck in and...
Well, I heard 30 seconds and I was like, let's hurry up.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
It is great to have you guys in studio. We've got Eric Ratzek and Adam Krause from Ask Your Mother are here. They're going to perform for us, and we're going to have a discussion about what I like to call rock and roll.
Sure. We can do that.
How you guys been?
Good. Busy. Man, you just caught us at the end of a very busy period in our lives for Ask Your Mother.
That's true.
And we've been all over the state in the past week alone.
Really?
So we've been all
tell us about it. Where have you been?
Well, Green Bay, for one.
Yeah, just
here.
Across the street
here. We were here. Yeah, we were over at Titletown on the rooftop.
Oh, sweet.
Doing our own U2 show there. No, it wasn't really like it. It was on the rooftop, though.
It rivaled the Beatles on the rooftop. It was.
There was more people over here, I think, that we could see from there because they had their I don't know what they have over here. Like on
didn't
the
matter.
City deck.
It was it wasn't Ask Your Mother. That's all that matters.
There was a lot of people that ended up over there, but it was fun. What else? We were on Channel 5 that
week. Yeah.
We did live
cool.
at 5 in the morning, so we did that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it wasn't that early. It was like Channel 5, what I'm saying. Channel 5.
Oh,
it was like a live segment. We played on there for a little bit and did a little interview. And then that night, we were in Oshkosh at SOS Brothers Tent and EAA. So that was crazy fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been nuts. Milwaukee last weekend, so we've been all over.
This is just a side hustle for you guys.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah, we all have real jobs.
Let's not forget Scandinavia.
Yeah, the cornrows.
Squeeze Scandinavia in there. They always get forgotten. Scandinavia corn roast.
I don't know why we'd forget that when the zipper operator was so kind to offer us free rides the next day. Yeah. Not that day,
If we came back the next day, we would get free rides.
I was this close to canceling our state fair gig just for the rides.
So what was the zipper at? Was it like at a county fair?
Well, it's like the Scandinavia does like a corn roast is what it's called.
Okay.
So it's like a kind of like a community fundraiser kind of thing. Like we were on stage the night for like the Scandinavia Fire Department hired us for that. So
very nice.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it's a fun show. We like doing it. And
yeah, it's a good event.
Good crowd.
You don't get the zipper after every show.
Well, Tim, our lead guitar player, says it's not a county fair unless it has a zipper. They're just posing. Yeah.
And you feel like you're going to die sometimes. Like once in a while, the guys look like they really know how to assemble the stuff. But every once in a while, man, you're like,
there was always that comedian that said, like, a couple hours ago, this ride was on the highway.
So what was the Milwaukee gig?
State Fair. We were down there
sweet.
For that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's that crowd like?
Oh, it's
I would
awesome.
Imagine they're
so
fantastic.
Cool. Fun. Yeah. Absolutely. But we get, we've been doing the Saturday there at the Tavern at the Park, and it's just a huge, just eclectic mix of people, I guess would be the way to say it.
And at different times. So you have people that are there when you start, you have people walking by, you have people stopping and listening, you have people singing along as they're walking, you know, from the barn to the exhibition hall.
Let's not forget the guy that was breakdancing.
We had some creative, we had a dance off at one point between.
It was nuts.
It was crazy.
5, 6, 7.
They were going for it, man.
Yeah, the guy just, I mean, it's like blacktop. It's not like conducive for breakdancing. No,
he didn't bring a piece of cardboard or anything. He was just right on the blacktop.
He's like, I'm going for it.
And he did.
He went for it.
He won, I say. He won the dance off.
What's the biggest crowd you guys have ever played for?
I'd probably be opening for Cheap Trick, I think.
Yeah, we played open for Cheap Trick at the Greenville Lions Catfish Races, that whole deal they do every year, a few years back.
Yeah, that was, I think, 10,000 at that one.
Yeah.
What is that? What does that do to you guys, well, as performers? I mean,
I think it's a little nervous. Yeah. I mean, a little bit. Sure, you walk out. The thing is, what I always find is funny, I feel like a bigger crowd is easier to play for than a small crowd.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's more judgment happening from 10 people versus 10,000.
Yeah. Right. And it's almost like a roller coaster because you might be, you're nervous, you know, heading up that ramp. You're nervous until you play that first note.
Yeah.
And you play the note and people start singing along. All of a sudden you're going and you just ride it.
You just feed off of it. It's huge. It's fun.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. How did you get the gig? Did Cheap Trick's management reach out to you?
I like to think so, but that's not what happened. Personally, they asked for us.
I think our agent got us actually that show. Bananas Entertainment got us in there. So.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Lance.
Yeah. Lance, Ryan, shout out to Megan, Lance. If you're listening. Yes, thank you all. We appreciate you.
But you got some cool stuff coming up, too. Speaking of crowds, you get the Brown County Fair.
Heck yeah.
Let's find out when that is.
It's Thursday.
Next Thursday, isn't it?
Not this Thursday, but next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so we at the Brown County Fair. We've got that coming up. We've got we get a full weekend that weekend.
We have three in a row. Yeah. That's a big weekend. Nice. So that weekend, we got Brown County Fair the Thursday, which is...
That's a week from this
15th.
Coming.
Yeah, okay. The 15th will be there. We're also doing our favorite country bar, doing that one in Appleton. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Watertown, speaking of all over the map.
Oh, wow, yeah.
We'll be there. We got a Rippin' Main Street show coming up August 23rd. We're doing Jones Park. That'll be huge.
Is that the Thursday night thing
they
do?
Yeah,
that's fun. Really cool.
That's the last week they're doing it, too, is when we're there.
Oh, for the summer?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Man, that's a real big crowd. It's a great crowd. It's a lot of fun. Family-friendly, a lot of food, a lot of music. Also my wife's birthday, so that's going to be...
Yeah, it's Aaron freaking Krause's birthday, so we got to make sure we shout that out. Yeah. And then,
you guys are kind of like celebrities around here.
So, I don't know about all that.
But. Well, I mean, you have a following. I mean,
we do.
It's really easy to find out information.
We just got 10,000 followers on Facebook, nice. So that's a good milestone.
We get recognized in not like paparazzi style, but you might be sitting down for dinner and somebody's like, oh, how'd the gig go? And you're like, I have no idea who you are. Yeah.
Which one?
Who are you?
Is it different when you play here where people are more likely to know you as down, like, say, Watertown or something?
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like it's if they don't know us, they're going to by the time we're done. Like, I would try to make it memorable, you know? Yeah.
Does it make you try harder?
It does. I feel like when it's someone that hasn't seen us and we have to work a little harder to win them over, that's what I'll do. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For sure.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll replay our visit with dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser about how Trump's mass deportations would hammer the U.S. food supply.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.